I'm going to read from Romans 8, 14 to 39. It's quite a long bit. I cut out the first 13 verses to shorten it a bit. But just bear with it and meditate upon it as you hear it. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pain of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wow, what a powerful bit of scripture. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I ask that you use me as your instrument, Lord, to bring the message that you've laid on my heart. Lord, open our ears to hear what you have to say to each one of us. And open our hearts, Lord, to accept what it is you're saying. And also give us the will and determination to not just hear it, but to act upon your instruction. In order to grow strong in our faith, Lord, that we may grow to become more like your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, those who were here last week will remember that Rob asked us this question: are you listening? Well, it got me thinking. So I thought, well, what do you talk about, Lord? And what I want to say this morning is, if you've heard from God, there is only one thing you have to do. You must act upon it. It's important that when you're aware that the Lord is giving you direction, that you not only take note of it. And it's important that we take note of it if we're hoping to stay on the straight and narrow. But we also need to remember what James tells us in James 2, 20 to 24, which reads, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. It's all right to say, yes, I believe. But if you don't put it into action, you don't display it, you can't, you're hiding your light under a bushel, as they say. We're supposed to be that candle, a bright little candle that's glowing in the dark that people can see and be guided by. Now, I like it that Abraham was called God's friend, and I put it to you, who better to be considered a friend of than God? Now, I have no doubt that you all know that James was indeed the brother of Jesus, although he didn't have the same father, he had the same mother. But he still called himself and considered himself to be a servant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we are if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are slaves of the risen Lord. Note, we are servants, not slaves. Some people think they're slaves and they've got to run around doing loads of things which they think is good, but have they been listening to what God is asking them to do? So we've got to remember, we're not slaves, we're servants. And as servants, you've got a choice. When you hear, to actually act upon it or to ignore it. Because that's the way our God works. He gives you the choice. He doesn't want robots. He wants dedication, devotion, and he wants to love you. You'll notice the scripture, the choice is up to the individual, whether they believe in God, whether they accept Jesus as their Savior or reject him. Now here's the rub. You cannot reject the Son and expect to be a friend of the Father. It just won't work. As Rob told us last week in his reading from John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." If there are some listening to this message who may be wondering, what's in it for me? Why would I want to be a Christian? Why would I want to be known as a servant of God? Well, I think I would just point them to Revelations 21 and verse 4 and see what he does for his servants. He promises he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Wow, who doesn't want to have that to look forward to? Knowing that forever you're going to enjoy the rest of your time. It's timeless as well. There's no limit on it at all. There's a limit on your time here today, because none of us know how long we've got. But when you go to be with the Lord, it's forever. Then I would also encourage them, if they still wanted a bit of a push, to consider the alternative. For without Jesus, as we read, there is no way to the Father. There is no hope of eternal life. No hope of a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As can be clearly seen as they read on from Revelations 21, verses 5 to 8. He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." But this is a bit, if you don't know him, you need to take care of. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." This is the choice for each individual. You can either decide to have one or the other. You can't put your feet, you can't sit on the fence and hope you're going to fall on the right side. You've got to make a choice. John 3:16, that we've already read this morning, makes it quite clear that God loves everyone. "For whosoever believes will receive." You know, his gift of salvation is free to everyone who wants to believe. It's a free gift, but what expense it cost him. It cost our Lord and Savior his death on the cross. It was bought by the precious blood of Jesus, his Son. I believe it's because God gives us the choice to to make it clear that it's servants he wants, not slaves. You see, if you're a slave, you've got no choice but to do as you're told or get beaten. But if you're a servant, you can say no. Imagine you go into a restaurant and the waiter comes and there's a big group of you and you're all ordering and he doesn't take any notes, doesn't write it down. I'll remember it. Goes into the kitchen and he comes back and everybody gets plates of food that they didn't order. Would you be happy? No. That's the importance of listening to what God tells you and to make notes of it and to do it. Not to think, oh, I'll get on to it tomorrow. I'll remember that, yeah. Because the older you get, the more you forget. So don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. That's what my wife always tells me. I'm still trying to live up to that. But you know, we are humans. And we all do it from time to time. It's important to notice, though, that each of us are individuals. And as individuals, it's up to us to either accept or reject that gift of God. It cannot be conferred upon anyone by someone else. A natural father, a natural mother can't do it. A pope can't do it. A bishop can't do it. And certainly I can't do it. Yeah? It's a personal relationship with Jesus that's required. Nothing else will do. As that lovely old Easter hymn, which I mentioned quite a few times, tells us, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Only he could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. And that's why I say in this morning's message, you must act upon it when you hear from God. If as yet you're listening to this message and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then the best advice that I could give you, or anyone could give you, is to listen and search. And if you hear the Lord calling you, don't ignore it. Don't put it off until later. Act upon it right away. For none of us know how long we're going to be here on this mortal coil. Remember, though, the choice you make will determine where you spend eternity. There are only the two choices, as I said. The first is to accept God's gift of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, and enjoy the promise giving in Revelations 21 and verse 4. He will wipe away your tears from your eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the older things has passed away. The other alternative, I'll not read it all, I'll just read you the verse that's applicable, and the second choice. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I know it's hot enough here. In Vancouver, it's 30.1 degrees, or it was yesterday. You know, that's quite hot. But can you imagine what it would be like to fall into a lake of burning sulfur? Being a firefighter, I know what it's like to be in the middle of really hot stuff. And I certainly don't want to go there again. I've retired. I want a peaceful life and an afterlife with our Lord and Savior. If as yet you have not made the first choice and accepted Jesus as your Lord, I trust and pray that you will give it some really serious consideration and thought. It's important to remember, though, that conversion, being born again, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is only the first step along a hard and sometimes a difficult road. And the only way to stay the course is by listening to God's direction. And most importantly, acting upon it. Remembering my old friend, and I wouldn't like to disappoint anyone, I always mention him, Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, to take ownership of that promise, there is only one way, and that is to know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Because without that, you ain't got a future that's very bright. Take ownership of that promise today. I would advise, listen to the Good Shepherd, to know his voice and to follow it, and to act upon his word. That is the best advice anyone could ever give you. And it comes from God's word. Remember, he is the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love this whole world so much that John 3:16, which puts the gospel in a nutshell, that you love this world so much that you sent your one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, we thank you for that gift. And Lord, we just pray that you will speak to those who as yet still need to know him. Touch them by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, I know that there'll be quite a few that you have touched and have put it off till tomorrow. But Lord, we don't know whether we'll have tomorrow, because you don't promise us tomorrow. You promise us a day, today. Today, tomorrow may never come. So Lord, fit us all for heaven. Help us to keep our mind fixed firmly on the road ahead, and to listen to the Good Shepherd and to follow his voice and follow his lead. And we will keep on to the end of the road, when we will meet with him again and share wonderful fellowship with each other, with our brothers and sisters who have gone before us. And Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings and ask that you continue to keep your hand upon this church and help us to stand on your word no matter what, Lord, because there is no other way but through your word. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.